Hello, everybody. Welcome to our last talk of the day. This is Peter Lowe.
Am I going to be able to see them on the screen as well?
No.
Okay, I can look around.
Hello, this is Peter Lowe. He will be showing us many of the weird things people have done with DNS to finish our day.
Thank you. First thing I should say is that this presentation normally takes about 40 minutes because there's quite a lot of things to see, so I'm going to be running through it. It's going to be a whirlwind tour of bizarre and unusual things that people have done with DNS. Okay, so I'm going to skip through some of this stuff. This is all about who I am. Normally I talk about myself a little bit, but nobody's really interested in that. You've come to see the weird stuff, right? I'm a security researcher. I do DNS stuff, basically. Bunch of different titles for this. Not very clickbaity. This is a sort of intro to DNS. I'm assuming that everybody kind of knows what that is here, so we'll skip over that. And this is how it all started, which is part of the DNS abuse special interest group for FIRST. I'm the co-chair. John Todd from Quad9 joked about some malware distribution via DNS, and we thought, oh, that's not possible. Wait, hang on. So started going and collecting some other stuff. Yes, a lot of these aren't around anymore, unfortunately. It's kind of like a museum of weird DNS things. Some of them still work, but there's a bunch of links at the end. If you're interested in any of these, I've tried to put resources and links to everything that you'll see. So, first section, trace routes. Not 100% DNS, but basically it works by setting up a static route and then making sure that the reverse DNS maps back to something interesting. So, this was one of the first things I ever saw, the Star Wars intro via DNS. It was by a guy called Ryan. I'm going to be looking up at here as well, by the way, because I can't remember all the details with these. Ryan Werber from Beagle.net in 2013. It was one of the things I saw and thought, oh, how does that work? And it kind of got me interested in some of the stranger parts of DNS. There's an IPv6 version out there somewhere. It went down very quickly because of a DDoS, typical for a lot of these things, unfortunately. There is this one, which is han.bb0.nl. This, as you can see, displays a hand, and it's done over IPv6. If you increase the number of hops, it does get more interesting as it goes on. This is the only space I had for on the slide, so, yeah. Sebastian Haas, who will be featured multiple times in this presentation. I hope he's here, but if not, hi, Sebastian. He put up a thing where you could trace route and find the live scores from the Euro 2020 match, which was pretty impressive. He also wrote a thing called Fake Route or Faker T, which allows you to set up fake IPv6 routes on your local machine. This is another one from MakerForce. This is some alternate lyrics to American Pie, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. Bad Horse. If anybody here is a fan of Dr. Horrible Sing-Along, there is a semi-famous thing in it called Bad Horse where he sings a little song. And we have the lyrics here. And if you go and have a look at the SSL certificate chain for bad.horse, signed.bad.horse, there's a little Easter egg there as well. This is a screenshot of Dr. Horrible. And the first time I did this, Andrew Campling, who's an encrypted DNS guy and other stuff, he said, let's put something festive in. So I went out and had a look. And, of course, someone's done a Christmas tree. So there's another one. Tools and toys. One of the first things I found was at postel.org, which I think is a great place to be hosting something interesting. It's a calculator. It's not as good as Stefan Boltzmeier's, where you can actually put the plus character in, but and it's not around anymore. I put this. There's a reverse Polish calculator out there. Apparently, this is a reverse Polish calculator, so shows how much I know about maths. This is one of the more interesting ones, and there's a bunch of different versions of this. It's a local IP echo. It tells you what your public-facing IP address is. It's actually quite useful because in scripts, instead of just doing a curl request to myip.org or whatever, this is going to get an answer much quicker, and it's much more easily scriptable. This one is the MyIP service from Google. As everybody knows, Google is famous for discontinuing services, but they're never going to let the DNS service go, so, yeah. There's some tools here for network admins, some IP to ASN translators, lots of different options. There's Team Cymru. There's an example here. There's some other ones out there if you go looking for them. There is an example here. I think this is from Tony Finch. This is postcodes, which will translate them to... Oh, and Jan Mens, sorry. And this will give you the geolocation for postcodes in the UK. I think Jan Piet did some... Oh, yeah, this is also the airport codes, I think. I'm also missing my talk speaker notes, by the way, so forgive me for this. And DNS.toys, this is a great site. They put up a bunch of different things that you can look at. There's World Time, IP Echo, another one. Number to words. I genuinely don't know what this is useful for. I don't know why anybody would use it, but, you know, it's kind of fun to have it out there. This is one of my favorite ones. I'm quite a fan of geocaching. I don't know if you guys know about it, but it's like Pokemon Go for geeks. And you get to go out in the world and find things that are out there. There is one geocache which has the author of Mockapetrius, but it's not, unfortunately not Dr. Paul Mockapetrius. This is, again, Sebastian Haas, I think. And it's basically a host name, and if you look up the text record for it, it gives you the hint for the first part of the geocache, which is, I love it, personally. There's a text adventure out there. This is very cool. I mean, this is what you want from DNS, right? guy called Craig Mayhew, you look up different host names and it gives you different options, and it uses round robin DNS for random decision trees, so it's pretty cool. Tunneling. Okay, so people's definition of tunneling varies, right? It can be a simple kind of like C2 communication, or it could be full file extraction over DNS. I've got some examples here. If you want to discuss what tunneling means exactly, let's meet afterwards and fight. This is an intro to tunneling, which I found from Slashdot in 2000, but the general concept is the same. Wikipedia over DNS by a guy called David Ledbetter. This is very cool. It actually supports Unicode as well. I don't think it works anymore, unfortunately, but it's basically, he took a local copy of the XML dump and then installed it, I think, on PowerDNS, and you could look up pages via that. Blogging, another very cool example where you look up, you publish text records, and that is your static blog. I love it because it's going to be fast. It actually works from a blog. All you really want is the content. So, yeah, you can get the index. You can get look up specific posts or order them by recently posted. Okay, so now we're getting a little bit more into the woods. This is IP over DNS. There is a library out there called iodine, which is the chemical element number 53, which is, you know, appropriate. It does full IP over DNS. There's some examples of how this can be used later on. I'm getting to the point where I lose words about how to describe this kind of stuff. I mean, it's all brilliant, but this is like, yeah, I don't know. HTTP over DNS. So we're getting even more crazy here. This is browser tunnel. It's actually quite useful for some things if you're in certain situations like an airport or something like that where things might be a bit restricted. This is basically how it works. It does raise the interesting concept of, if you're familiar with DNS over HTTPS, HTTP over DNS over HTTPS. So, yeah. This is pretty cool. It's called Slow DNS, and it's a full VPN over DNS, which is in the Google Android, the Google Play Store. I haven't used it because it does include ads, and I've never actually got the courage to check it out properly. But I think it's the kind of thing that can really work in airports and other restricted areas. So you run it, and it's a VPN that lets you access the internet, and it works over DNS. So a lot of places, DNS is going to be unrestricted, and this is going to help you out in those situations. The ads thing, well, you know, give it a go, but the concept is amazing. Another library that I found really cool is called DNSCAT2. You install a server, and you install a client, and then they communicate to each other over DNS packets. You don't have to have an actual domain working at all. You don't have to register a domain. It just uses the DNS protocol. And it's got a bunch of built-in functions like sending files and windows and messages and stuff like that. It's very cool. This is still on GitHub. There's a link at the end, you'll see. And a few other things. I don't know how much time am I out of time?
Carry on.
Okay. This is the benefits of being the last person speaking. Corey Quinn talked about how you can use DNS as a full config management system. This is the BIMI brand indicators, which works over DNS, uses TXT records, which start with underscore BIMI. A full contacts database. Somebody in the UK has created a whole protocol and used it to put the Yellow Pages online, and they've got an SDK and all sorts of crazy stuff. There is dnskv.com. This is a full key value store. This works. This guy is quite dedicated to it. I have to say I'm quite impressed. Some really good documentation. Go check it out. A file system over DNS. Yeah. I know, right? I mean, why not? Okay. Ben Cox was in the audience when I did this presentation once, and I have to say, I totally lost my... it's amazing. And there's an example of him on Twitter streaming an MP3 over DNS, and it working. It's just magical. There you go. Here's the links at the end, and questions. There you go.
No, I think so. Thank you, Peter. Thank you all for being here. Have a good day.